Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Free Exercise and Equal Protection Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 19, 2017, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in Trinity Lutheran Church of Columbia v. Comer. The Learning Center is a licensed preschool and daycare that is operated by Trinity Lutheran Church of Columbia, Inc. Though it incorporates religious instruction into its curriculum, the school is open to all children. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources offers playground scrap tire service material grants to organizations that qualify for resurfacing of playgrounds. Trinity's application for such a grant was denied under Article 1, Section 7 of the Missouri Constitution, which reads, "No money shall ever be taken from the public treasury, directly or indirectly, in aid of any church, section, or denomination of religion." Trinity sued, arguing that DNR's denial violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and the First Amendment's protections of freedom of religion and speech. The district court dismissed for failure to state a claim. Trinity moved for reconsideration, amending its complaint to include allegations that DNR had previously funded religious organizations with the same grant. But the district court denied again. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 8th Circuit upheld the decision, agreeing with both the dismissal and denial of motions. The question before the Supreme Court is whether the exclusion of churches from an otherwise neutral and secular aid program violates the Free Exercise and Equal Protection Clauses, when the state has, according to the petitioner church, no valid Establishment Clause concern. To discuss the case, we have Hannah C. Smith, who is senior counsel of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Smith.
This case is about the Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. The church runs a daycare and a preschool for about 90 children ages 2 through kindergarten. In 2012, Trinity Lutheran applied for a grant to resurface its playground. Missouri runs a program that provides grants for the installation of safe rubber playground surfaces using recycled shredded tires. The two purposes of the program are to reduce the amount of used tires in Missouri's landfills and also to improve the safety for children on playgrounds around the state. The program is funded by a fee on the sale of new tires, and grants are available to a wide range of groups, including public schools, parks, and nonprofit daycares. But not everyone gets funds. It's a competitive process, and applicants are given points for the amount of scrap tires generated in Missouri that would be used in the project, whether the playground is used by kids from low-income homes, and the school's recycling education curriculum, among other criteria. So the state ranked Trinity Lutheran 5th out of 44 applications that year and funded 14 projects. But the state denied the grant to Trinity Lutheran solely because it is a church. The state claimed that its constitution prevented it from giving money to a church. So Trinity Lutheran filed a lawsuit. It lost below. And as its last resort, Trinity Lutheran asked the U.S. Supreme Court to hear its case. The Trinity Lutheran case has taken a lot of twists and turns leading up to oral argument today at the court. As you recall, the court granted cert back in January of 2016, about a month before Justice Scalia's passing in February. Typically, the case would have been set for oral argument within several months, but Trinity Lutheran was not scheduled for oral argument for over a year. Meanwhile, the political sands shifted under the case in Missouri. In November of 2016, Missourians voted in a new governor and a new attorney general. That new attorney general was Republican Josh Hawley, who'd campaigned in favor of the church and against the outgoing Missouri administration's position in the case, and he had also filed an amicus brief on behalf of a private client in support of the church. So now in office, Josh recused himself from the case and referred it to his deputy, John Sauer. Finally, in February of this year, about 2 weeks after the nomination of Judge Gorsuch was announced, the court set argument in the case for today. But the twists kept coming. In a rare move, the new Missouri Attorney General's deputy asked Missouri's former Solicitor General, Jim Layton, from the previous Democratic administration to argue the case for Missouri before the Supreme Court. Jim had been on the brief submitted to the court, which defended the previous administration's position against the church. So the final twist came last week when the new Missouri governor announced on Facebook and by press release that he had instructed the Department of Natural Resources, which administers the scrap tire grant program, to permit religious organizations to apply for and be eligible to receive the grants. So the next day, the Supreme Court requested both parties submit letters to the court explaining how the announcement affects the case. And those letters were submitted yesterday, the day before oral argument. Both Trinity Lutheran and the Missouri Attorney General's Office submitted letters to the court agreeing that the case is not moot. In an unsolicited letter to the court, the ACLU, as a friend of the court, expressed its view that the case is moot. So first, the Church and Attorney General's position that the case is not moot. They both relied on a legal doctrine called voluntary cessation. In these sorts of circumstances, the court retains jurisdiction because the challenge conduct, though it has stopped, could recur as soon as the case is dismissed. And especially here, they said, there's a real possibility that Missouri's courts may enjoin future payments to Trinity Lutheran under the new policy if there's no judgment in this case from the Supreme Court. Immediately following the governor's announcement, the media had reported that a potential lawsuit challenging the governor's new policy could be forthcoming. While the ACLU said the case is moot because the church only asked for injunctive relief, namely the eligibility to compete for future grants, and that relief has now been given in the form of a policy change permitting the church to apply for and be eligible to receive a grant. Trinity Lutheran didn't ask for any damages or reimbursement, so there's no relief for the Supreme Court to give. So before we get to the oral argument from today, let's just take a look at three main issues that we at Beckett argued in our amicus brief before the court. First, the principle of government neutrality towards religion. Second, the Locke against Davy case, which was central to this case in the briefing. And third, Missouri's Blaine Amendment. So first, the Missouri Scrap Tire Grant Program's exclusion of churches violates the principle of government neutrality. This principle of government neutrality towards religion is supported by both the Free Exercise and the Establishment Clauses of the First Amendment. We said those provisions are complementary, and when they're read together, they support this proposition that one's religion ought not to affect one's legal rights or duties or benefits, as Justice O'Connor once said. The court recognized this neutrality principle almost 70 years ago in Everson, its very first decision applying the Establishment Clause to the states. The court explained that the government may not exclude the members of any faith because of their faith or lack of it from receiving the benefits of public welfare legislation. The court later applied this neutrality principle in the 1978 case McDaniel against Patey. There, the court ruled that the Free Exercise Clause prohibits government from excluding individuals from publicly available opportunities based on their religious status. In that case, striking down Tennessee's constitutional provision that disqualified ministers from serving in the state legislature, Chief Justice Berger explained the problem. To condition the availability of benefits upon McDaniel's status as a minister penalizes the free exercise of his constitutional liberties in violation of the First Amendment. Justices Brennan and Marshall also viewed the clergy disqualification provision as problematic because it establishes a religious classification involvement in protected religious activity governing the eligibility for office. So McDaniel established this baseline rule that government may not use religion as the basis for classification for the imposition of duties, penalties, privileges, or benefits. The court reaffirmed McDaniel's ruling in the 1990 case of Employment Division against Smith, where it reiterated and cited McDaniel for the proposition that government may not impose special disabilities on the basis of religious views or religious status. And the court expanded on this rule in the 1993 case of Church of the Lukumi Babalui. There, the court unanimously struck down ordinances that violated the minimum requirement of neutrality, that a law not discriminate on its face, nor target religious conduct for distinctive treatment. So we see from Everson to McDaniel to Smith and finally to Lukumi that the court has consistently applied this baseline rule that the Free Exercise and Establishment Clauses forbid the government from denying public benefits based on religious classifications. But that's just what Missouri did in this case. It's excluded all churches from the scrap tire program, regardless of whether they meet all other secular neutral criteria. And that is just the sort of special disability on the basis of religious status that the First Amendment forbids. So second, the court's 2004 decision in Locke against Davy doesn't change this baseline neutrality rule. In Locke against Davy, you'll recall that the Supreme Court addressed the question whether the federal constitution requires a state to fund scholarships for devotional theology degrees because it also funds scholarships for other degrees. There, the court held that the federal constitution doesn't require states to do so because states have the authority to choose which degree programs to fund. But Locke doesn't change the outcome here for two important reasons. First, the denial of funds in Locke was not based on anyone's religious status. It was based on the state's decision not to fund a particular program of study. Here, Trinity Lutheran was banned from the Scriptura program solely because it is a religious institution. And second, Locke said that the denial of funds there was tied to a historic and a substantial anti-establishment interest, avoiding the use of public funds to support theological training of the clergy. But here, there's no legitimate concern that the funding would lead to anything like an establishment of religion. The scrap tire program reduces waste in landfills and makes playgrounds safer. Even under the court's most stringent no-aid decisions, like the 1975 decision in Meek against Pittenger, letting religious groups participate in the scrap tire program would be permissible because it would provide secular and non-ideological services unrelated to the primary religion-oriented function of the sectarian school. More importantly, under the court's current Establishment Clause jurisprudence, letting religious groups participate in the scrap tire program would be acceptable because, as the court wrote in Agostini against Felton, both religious and secular beneficiaries would be included on a non-discriminatory basis using neutral secular criteria that neither favor nor disfavor religion. So in short, shredded tires on playground surfaces protect children's bodies. They don't indoctrinate their minds. Now, finally, the state's exclusion of churches can't be justified by its Blaine Amendment. Unable to justify this exclusion of churches under the First Amendment, the state of Missouri resorts to state law, essentially arguing that our state's Blaine Amendment made us do it. Now, Blaine Amendments are state constitutional provisions enacted during a wave of anti-Catholic bigotry in the 1800s. They exist in over 30 state constitutions, and they prohibit the government from giving aid to any institution that is, quote-unquote, sectarian, which back then was code for Catholic. These old anti-Catholic provisions are often invoked to justify denying generally available state aid to any religious organization. But, of course, state constitutional provisions can't trump the federal constitution, and at least four current justices, Kennedy, Thomas, Ginsburg, and Breyer, have recognized the anti-Catholic roots of Blaine Amendments. Two of those justices, Thomas and Kennedy, have agreed that Blaine Amendments were born of bigotry and should be buried now. And four justices who only recently departed the court, Rehnquist, Stevens, Scalia, and Souter, joined them in condemning the anti-Catholic history of Blaine Amendments. So there's no real reason to assume that the Supreme Court will give deference to Missouri's Blaine Amendment. So just a few thoughts on oral argument. On the mootness issue, to me, it really seemed like Sotomayor was the one who was most concerned about this issue generally. And I think her concern mostly went towards the lack of adversariality, if you will, just her concern about the Missouri Attorney General's appointing Jim Layton to argue this case and whether or not there was really any adversariality between the parties in the case before the court. Justice Ginsburg said that it's technically not moot, but she kind of hinted at maybe this should be a dig because they wouldn't have granted it under these circumstances to begin with. Some of my favorite parts of oral argument on the merits, Justice Kagan and Justice Breyer seemed to be very concerned about the argument that Missouri was making. Justice Kagan referenced the longstanding constitutional principle that when you have a funding program, everyone is entitled to funding. Whether or not they exercise a constitutional right, they're not disentitled to the funding because they're religious. She said this was a pretty strong principle and asked the Missouri lawyer, how is that not violated here? She also said that there's a clear burden on a constitutional right here because people of a certain status are being prevented from getting a benefit. Justice Breyer also seemed quite concerned with upholding Missouri's policy here, at least in this public safety benefits context. He seemed to feel that you can't deny benefits based on religious status. Justice Kennedy clearly stated his position that he thought this case was very different from Locke against Davy because here you had status-based discrimination. And he seemed to say through a couple of his questions that whereas here there's no Establishment Clause violation, there are no instances where religious status can be used as a basis for exclusion of religious groups.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.fedsoc.org/multimedia.